Hazels are missionaries that we support here at Walnut Grove, and we had the wonderful opportunity for them to be here now to share with us what's going on, and we're excited to have you guys, and little Anastasia too. So let's give them a welcoming hand here, and we'll turn it over to them.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is wonderful to look out those windows and to see color and not to see brown desert. Because we've been living in the Kalahari Desert for the past 2 years. We've only been back for less than 2 weeks in the States. And so we came up yesterday and driving through the mountains, I'm like, oh. And then I turned off the air on the car as we got a little bit higher, and then that sweet smell of the grass came through, and some of those familiar smells came back to my senses, and I'm like, we're home. We're back in the mountains. And so it's so good to be here with you guys this morning. Let's go ahead and start, and then I'm just going to kind of work my way through what I've got so many things going on in my brain, but I've got some stuff written down here to kind of keep me in track. So 7 years ago, believe it or not, we stood before you here. Some of you might remember, some of you might not. We all probably didn't have gray hair at that time. We might have been a little bit thinner, but I think we're all wiser 7 years later, I hope. But 7 years ago, I stood up here and I read a statement from you, from some explorers. I haven't been able to find that statement, but basically that statement said that the Bushmen, the people that we live with, were subhuman, that they weren't even worth anything. And I was brought to tears every time I stood before a church and I shared that statement. Why? Well, because I know that Genesis 1:27 says this: "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he, the God who created these trees in this beautiful season that we're in, created us. He created every Republican, every Democrat, every boss, every skin color shade, every tribe, every nation. Even your neighbor is made in the image of God." Go to the next slide. He created her, our wonderful four-year-old daughter who's just chilling in the backseat of the truck, waiting for daddy to do something, or we're going somewhere. I don't remember, but why did we leave everything familiar to us? Why did we leave the mountains of East Tennessee where we lived and go to the Kalahari Desert, a totally opposite place of where we had been? We left because everything that was familiar. Why did we leave family? Why did we do all that? We left simply to bring the good news, the good news of Jesus to the Bushmen in a clear, it's the next slide, understandable and reproducible way. So I want to unpack those three things, because those three things have guided us over the past years that we've been there. So if clear, understandable, and reproducible are our goals, then this morning I kind of wanted to give you an update on how things have been going, and then also talk about the future. So in the past 2 years, while COVID has been wreaking havoc all over the world, and it's become a new vocabulary word, even where we are, it's called COVID. They don't have a word for it because it's a new word, so they just said COVID. It's funny to listen on the radio because we're where we live in Namibia, German spoken, Afrikaans is spoken, and there's other languages spoken, and even you listen on the radio and somebody's like, COVID, you know, and it doesn't matter what language it is, it's COVID universal. So, but COVID's become a new vocabulary word all over this world. And, but we have been able to go to the next slide. We've been able to create over 25, oral Bible stories. We've been able to translate various scriptures and record faith songs, traditional faith songs, and put these all on a small audio player. I actually left it at the chalet this morning, but it's a small solar audio player. And you have to understand one thing about the Jinghuas people, that they are an oral people. That means that they don't read and write. Okay. And so their language is spoken in about a 75-mile radius, and it only covers about 4,000 people. Okay. That's not a lot of people to invest your life in or invest time in. If it was from a business standpoint, a lot of people would say, no, I'm not going to invest any money on 4,000 people. I'm just not going to do it. Wycliffe is not going to do it. Matter of fact, I just, before we came over, we had a proposal denied for some Bible translation to happen. And they're just like, it's not enough people. It's too much money. You're like, this is the word of God. We need to bring, doesn't the Great Commission say go into what? All the world? We can't pick and choose. We've been able to record these things and put them on this solar audio player and now and give them out in all the villages. And now, one per village right now. And now these people have some scripture, some stories, and some local faith songs, actually, that they can just pick up and press play on. They don't have to carry a Bible, anything else like that. Actually, I want you to hear one of the songs that I recorded, so that should be the next slide, I think. Or, well, yeah, that's fine. Go ahead to the next slide. Okay, you can stop that a little bit. The basic translation is Jesus frees us. You heard Yesu. Yesu is the name for Jesus. Quora is, quora is free. It's just Jesus frees me. Jesus frees me. These songs are just came out of just them being exposed to people coming before and just talking about Jesus, but not explaining really what it's about. And so God has organically behind the scenes just opened their eyes through his creation to them. And then these songs have just naturally come. And so I've been able to record some of them. And that's something that's just happened in the past few months and start to distribute it amongst all the people. And they are loving hearing people where we are, there's about 75 miles of land that the government has given them in a big radius. It's kind of like an Indian reservation. Yeah. We call it a conservancy in Namibia. Sorry. Indian reservation. Thank you. English is my second language now. And there's villages. There's about 40 villages spread out amongst this whole thing. So these people are distanced from each other because they're hunter gatherers. Okay. They're nomadic. They just go hunt and they gather in the bush and they get things. And so to try to connect that body of Christ that exists there together is part of our goal. So, being able to get these things recorded, being able to give it to an audio player, this goes back to our first goal. It makes God's word clear for the people. They can understand it. During this whole time, we've also been able to start discipling a small group of people. And I actually can blame that on COVID. Because when we went over to get my work visa, it was required that I start teaching, which is my background, to start teaching in one of the schools and then maybe in the village or something like that. I met with the chief. I met with some other people and said, okay, this is what I got to do. you know, to keep my work permit up, and then I'll be able to do some ministry, create some stories and stuff on the side. Okay, that was the plan. A week later, country shut down. I haven't heard a bit about teaching, and I got my work permit renewed for 2 years last year, and I've just been able to focus solely on discipleship, disciple making, and story creation and translation work. I haven't had to do a bit of teaching, and I haven't had to do any social thing to fulfill the government requirements whatsoever. And so COVID has allowed me to really hone in and focus, and it's allowed me to not have to fill those things. And it, so some people have a negative view on it. I look at it as, okay, this is just a season of life, and I'll talk about that in a minute, that God has us in, and we're making lemonade out of lemons, you know? So yeah, we've been able to start discipling people about 2 years ago. I started with two guys, and it was an intentional. The first time I went with them, I'm like, hey guys, look, I don't know how long I'm going to be able to be here. At that time, I was on a 1 year work permit. And I said, I might have to leave in like 8 months. So what I'm teaching you so that you can teach others, so that you can then go teach others. And I told him, I said, that's what I'm doing. And I just harped it over and over and over. And that's the reproducible bit of our goal. Clear. Good news is clear. Make sure it's understandable. And then let's make sure that it is reproducible. Not by me, but by them. Because I'm not going to be able to be there the whole time. So from that, I've been able to, from that, I've been able to train, four guys to go out to the villages and teach. We've developed a Bible curriculum, what it means to be a Jesus follower, 10 lessons. And, it's picture oriented. And, we go out to the village. I'm basically the taxi driver. We just go way out into the bush, spend 2 days in the bush camping. Anastasia went with me the last one. Where did we go to sleep? Do you remember? Huh? Under that what tree? A baobab tree. Big trees like that. Yeah, we just camped at a baobab tree, and we slept under there and looked at the stars at night, and the guys were teaching, and it was great. I was able to take her. I didn't have any responsibility, and it was awesome. That's the reproducible part of it. They show the Jesus film, which is translated into a semi-local dialect, which gives them an understanding of the gospel a little bit. And then we also have recently started showing the Passion of the Christ film. And I will tell you this, people are like, whoa, what are you doing? Showing them the Passion of the Christ? But I show them for context. They don't understand it. It's not in their language yet. We'll get to that later. But I will tell you this, when those soldiers put the crown of thorns on his head, every single one of those bushmen who live around thorns that are this big, and every time you go out into the bush, you're fighting thorns, they gasp because they know what a thorn, a crown of thorns, how much pain one thorn causes them, if not a crown. They get it. And when the movie ends, they're like, is there more? And I'm like, That's all they did for now. Hopefully they're going to do another one soon, but that's all. And it's been amazing. It's really given them a context of what Jesus did for them on the cross. It's put it into good pictures. So, moving forward, it's been encouraging because once I told them that we were coming back here to visit. Oh, yep, that's okay. Once I told them that we were coming back here to visit family and stuff for 5 months, they said, Jeremy, can we continue to teach? And I said, yes, please. This is what I'm trying to teach you to teach. And so I left them resources, and they're going to go hopefully to 6 more villages that we haven't covered yet and go teach, and give them extra copies of the curriculum. They have a portable projector system that we have that fits in a little box that solar, we can play out in the bush, no problem. And it's amazing. So I'm going to be quiet. Let Claudia just share for just a moment. I can. Come here.
Jeremy didn't get a picture of me and the lady sitting under a tree, but that's how you would find me most days, is sitting under a tree usually making the ostrich egg jewelry in the back. And ladies there are just like ladies here. You know, we sit around and talk. You know, sometimes it's gossip, but it's not so good. But over the past 2 years, that talk has changed of what the conversation centered on because of those recordings. We may not talk anymore, and we may just listen for 2 hours of just repeated scripture and songs. And the children will run up and grab it because their favorite song's on. And so you've got a dozen children running around their mother singing this song about Jesus. And it just, it's just warms my heart totally to see these children. They may not totally understand it yet, but Jesus is getting into their hearts and their minds, and it's him that's will change them, not anything I do. And so every time Jeremy is able to add another story or another scripture to those little recorders, it's just a little bit more God that can be poured into those people. And so, I think that's all I was going to share.
Well, and it's okay because we actually want you to hear from them. So I recorded them. I actually asked them the question. I said, now that God's words, some of Jesus' words, have come to you in Junquas, which is it's a click language, okay, Junquas, how has that affected your life? And so I'm going to try to translate. I got a little cheat sheet too. But go ahead and play that first video if you want from Homa.
Okay.
So you can see the challenge we have with the language. We're still trying to understand. We've been doing language learning for 3+ years. But God provides. Homa said, he said, basically, I'm very happy because I can now understand the words from the Bible in my own language. And I just want to let that sink in for just a moment, because we are so blessed here to have how many translations of the Bible? I can now understand, I'm happy because I can now understand some of the words of the Bible in my own language. Yeah. Some words I didn't understand before, and I don't know if I can truly understand the words and all that goes on, but I have started to change my life because of it. Go to Dom. This is my namesake, what they call my busha. He's
mine.
Okay, so Dom said, I'm very happy that Jesus has turned me, and I see that it is a good path, and now that the Bible words are translated into Junquas, I am very thankful for that. And I can tell you a personal testimony from him, because I've taught these guys how to share their testimony, their story. They didn't know how to do it. And his testimony, he's about 10 years older than me. He's in his mid-50s. And his testimony is he used to drink. He used to alcoholism was huge there. And this guy right here is a pastor at heart. He's an evangelist at heart, because the second I shared that he was one of my first two disciples, and I said, we need to go start praying for 5 guys right now that you can go share with. And this guy has been nonstop in his neighborhood, all around, just going and saying, Jesus has changed my life. He's changed. There is hope for you. You can stop all this stuff you're doing, and Jesus can change you. Nay, let's go to Nay.
Me, Tuaga Robeja, Tamaja, Mita Juanaza, Gago Jun, was the guy. Get your good take to that, Robegan point, and the Gago coaches to us there. Konamika said, Jadoka go, Kunaka, and Tosha, Kunaka.
Basically, Nai is a new believer. She was baptized just before we left, which is awesome. And she said, I've opened my heart towards God's word. And she's actually one of my main translators. Also, she can speak like five languages. It's amazing. This is Homa's, the first guy. This is his wife. So you hear Jah. Jah is good. Kajak. Jah, Jah, Jah. And she said that many times. She says, my life has changed because the words, God's words are in Junhua's now. And it is very good. And so this is the change that has happened in these people's hearts, in these people's lives. And I figured it was better that you hear it from them than some guy up here trying to say it. They said some more, like here, Veronica wants to say, I want to be thankful to you, the American people who sent us, me and Claudia and Anastasia to come teach us the word of God. People are coming to hear God's words from and now, and they're opening their hearts for it. And some are also being baptized. And then she puts beside that me, which is awesome. Homa says, I want to say something to the supporters. You must add some years to them so that they can come back and come to teach us more from the Bible, because we like to work, with all the Bible scriptures, and it's in the Junhua's language. And one last person, and I thought this sums it up the best. This is from Dom's brother, Sama. He says, these Jesus words that they're giving us is going well. Let us hold on to it so that it can continue. Let's teach others the same way that Dom and Saba, that's our names, taught us, so that it can continue, so that they can know it. They're getting the reproducible part of it, which is encouraging for us. So that's been the past couple years. So as the seasons change here, I was thinking about, so how do we transition to the next season in our life? And as missionaries, we tend to think of things in terms, and a better way to describe it is like a season in life. Season in life for us right now is we have a four-year-old. The next season is we've been married over 20 years now, okay? And those of you who've been married longer know that things change. And as you get older and you understand each other more and you can argue better, things change. But everything has a season to it. And in between season, transition happens and change happens. And I like this quote. Claudia and I looked at this quote. Thank you. I'm gonna try not to cry anymore. But embrace the seasons and cycles of your life, because there is magic and change, and we were actually just talking about that. That we need to embrace the seasons of our life. We don't need to fight back against them, but we need to actually come and embrace them and say, this season is before me, and I'm going to make lemonade out of maybe what I could view it as lemons. I don't know. Maybe the season you're just happy that it's there, or it could be bad. So as we head back, this past season of our ministry just blossomed, ministry-wise. It's amazing. But as we head back in March, I just want to quickly say what our next season looks like. Passion film translation, story creation, moving out to the village and doing more discipleship. And so we're excited about what God has done and what the next season holds. But the biggest transition is going to be our involvement. In the fall of next year, we're actually going to have to transition from living there full-time to coming back to the States and just going back part-time. This is due to the fact that We're going to still remain with Africa Inland Mission, but and we'll still have access to our project funds, and people can still give to the project and things like that. And our heart, you can tell our heart still remains with the people. But in total transparency, although ministry has blossomed and amazingly in this past 2 years, it has been very, 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 very hard on our family. We have struggled. We have not blossomed as a family. We've been isolated. There's been no teammates. COVID, lockdown. Last year, March, April. Think that. 2 years, 24/7 with a four-year-old. That's been our life. Nobody around us, no support structure, no nothing like that. It's been rough. And unfortunately, COVID has just dried up all the missionary pipelines for people going overseas, and there's no teammates lined up in the future to join us. AIM has tried. Family, Anastasia struggled, Claudia struggled, thus Daddy has struggled seeing my girl struggle. And our parents, just being back these past few weeks and spending time with them, they're getting older and they are struggling. And really, we really see ourselves going to a different season in our life, a season where we're going to have to start caring for our parents, because that's just the season of life we're going to be in. So, and the other thing is our current work visa runs out of December of next year, and it is becoming harder and harder and harder to get work visas to stay in country, and it's becoming more expensive. We spend about $2,000 to $3,000 every time I apply for a work visa, and I'm not even guaranteed I'll get it, and it's a headache. It takes 6 months of paperwork and many trips. Huh? It took 7 this past time, and literally, I know what happened in the meeting, but literally a guy called another guy, a friend, and they were like, no, he's like, no, you cannot deny him a work visa, a guy who's in the ministry department. He's like, no, you can't. You've got to give these people work permits. They were going to deny us. And anyway, it's just a different season, and we got to embrace the change. And really, I've been meditating on Jesus' ministry and also Paul in the early churches. And Jesus, his ministry lasted 3 years here on earth. We just finished our third year in Chumquay. Paul planted churches. He trained leaders. I mean, Paul and Barnabas stayed in Antioch for 1 year. Paul stayed in Corinth for 1.5. He stayed in Ephesus for 2.25 years. Paul supported churches from afar. You know, even while he was arrested and imprisoned. I don't want to be arrested in prison, but the reality is, you know, we just can't remain there full time, given all the circumstances that are around us. And this is a hard choice, but it's a right choice. And so the next season is going to include more of what we've been doing, but also include transition to living back here in the U.S. and South Georgia. We're going to share more in a newsletter later, even how maybe we can mobilize people from here to go with us on a short-term trip. Our plan is to go back every 2 years for about 2 to 3 months, but people don't have to go for that long. They can just go for a couple weeks or whatever. But to go back or to partner with the Namibian church and try to mobilize Africans to reach Africans at the same time. So that is our goal, and we're also just brainstorming on how maybe through WhatsApp video and the internet, how we can maybe do some things from afar, from distance, and things like that. So as I close, because I know time's up, I want to focus on, again, what God is going to be doing in what's lined up for the next year when we go back, because we still have 6 months of full-time living there, at least. So I think it's in the next slide, but more stories are going to be created and translated. And the cool part, this is the guys going out to the village and just doing some teaching. I'm the one taking the picture. You can see how involved I am. I'm just the taxi driver and the photo photographer now, which is awesome. After they saw the passion script, and I thought about it, and I'm like, that's not a lot of English words actually in that script, and it's actually in Aramaic, and the translated parts, the subtitles are in English, and I was like, So I went to them and I said, hey, translator guys, my group of three. we had just finished the Sermon on the Mount series. It's like, would you guys like to translate this? You think it'll be worth it? And they were like, yeah. I said, okay, well, I'm leaving. I'll leave you the script. And so hopefully they're working on it right now while I'm gone. So when I get back in 5 months, hopefully we'll have that script translated. Then I'll go record the audio and dub it over the video. It's totally against copyright rules. Okay. But we're just, it's just for 4,000 people in that area. I've already talked to like some professionals who are like, just shh, don't tell Mel Gibson. It'll be okay. You know? And so it's just for those people to understand what they're actually saying. And so that's one of the major things that's going to happen. We're going to continue to do stories. We're going to continue to disciple and teach others. And we're going to continue to just continue. And then we'll say goodbye for a few years. And then we'll return and check up on them. And then we'll say goodbye for a few years. And then we'll check up on them. And maybe some other people can come along with us on a short-term basis. And that's just the season of life that we're moving into. And so we want to say thank you so much for you guys, for all the support you have shown us and continue to show us, even as we transition at the end of next year into this new season of life. And as we go back in a few months, we don't know what the future holds. Psalms 91. We don't know what the future holds, but Jesus in Matthew tells us, don't worry about it. It's just like the psalmist said, don't worry about it. Rest in the shadow of the wings of the Almighty. So we move forward into this next season, and is the good news changing? Good news of Jesus changing hearts and lives of these forgotten subhuman people in the very remote part of the world? You bet he is. Has it, and is it worth it? Yeah, it is. Why? Because of that right there. No matter what skin color, affiliation to whatever political party, haircut, age, doesn't matter. God created him and he says, go tell them. That's all I got. Claudia has, you want to tell them real quick about the jewelry back there?
So the jewelry back there is made by the mamas that I sit under trees with, and this is how they support their families. This is their work. And so it's all going to them. I basically bought it for them at wholesale price, and I'm selling it to you for fair trade price. And so they will get income when we get back. And so, and I'm not taking any cut. And so
we'll probably lose some on the exchange rate, but that's okay. That's no big deal. Whatever the exchange rate that day is when we go to the ATM. But it's okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you guys so much. And you can, we got prayer card, updated prayer cards back there with our blog on there. And there's more videos and more stories and things like that we post all the time. So thank you for giving us a few minutes. I hope I didn't go over too long. Bless you to the seniors.
Thank you, Jeremy and Claudia. I was just thinking about you mentioned Paul and his missionary journeys. There's some places he only spent a day or two at, and I think the longest place he spent was about 2 years, and you guys spent 3 years, in this one place. So, and it's good to get the local people running everything themselves, training them and letting them go. I mean, that's the model that Paul really left for us. So I appreciate what you guys are doing, and it's very fulfilling to know that we were a small part of it here at Walnut Grove by supporting.